106.9 WCTR, the greatest hits of all time. More and less in the morning. It's Thursday. It's time for Pet Patter with Dr. Rachel Crockett. Good morning, Dr. Crockett.
Good morning.
One of the things that we end up talking about a lot when we're talking about our pets, especially our dogs, is pancreatitis. And it's a very serious illness, and one that if we have a dog that we suspect has that, we need to rush them to the vet as quickly as possible. But I think it's a little bit misunderstood. So I thought we could kind of start from the beginning. What are some of the causes of pancreatitis? What is it really? And how important is it to treat it?
It can be a little murky in terms of what the causes of pancreatitis are. I mean, the pancreas is responsible for a lot of the digestion that happens in our bodies. It not only that with digestive enzymes, but it's also responsible for insulin. So there's a lot of different functions of the pancreas, but especially with those digestive enzymes, it can go pretty bad, pretty quickly in some cases. Pancreatitis is pretty interesting because there are certain things that can bring it on. And then once an animal, we suspect pancreatitis, there's this whole spectrum of how it could be treated outpatient. And in some patients, it's a mild case. We get it addressed pretty quickly. And within the first few doses of our antibiotic or whatever we're using to treat it, we notice improvement and we take it from there. But sometimes you can get this necrotizing pancreatitis where the pancreas starts to digest itself because it produces these digestive enzymes, and it can get really, really bad really quickly. So there's such a spectrum. We always have to kind of just be concerned when we're suspecting pancreatitis and kind of warn people either way that, hey, this isn't something that we just kind of, okay, pancreatitis, let's throw some antibiotics at it and forget about it. We have to be assessing response to treatment, you know, with each dose. Are we improving or are we just getting worse? Do we need supportive care? And really, that's what it comes down to. But the causes, maybe it's easier to kind of start with how we approach it. Usually, you can't tell unless you're, and it's usually seen in dogs, unless you're familiar and your dog has had repeated bouts of pancreatitis before, that's not necessarily something that you're going to be suspecting as what's wrong in your animal. Because with the pancreatitis, it's, you know, vomiting, not wanting to eat, maybe even perhaps some diarrhea. So that can look sometimes exactly like just your standard gastroenteritis. So we'll see these cases come in. And if there's a lot of times we'll treat for gastroenteritis, and sometimes we just suspect that it might be a little bit more because of, you know, some animals with upset stomachs, they, you know, they're fine. They're still even eating. Maybe they're not lethargic. They seem to be okay. But some are really, they're off their food. They're mopey. They may or may not be vomiting, but they just don't seem well. And those are the ones that we might choose to run a blood panel that would include a canine pancreatic lipase, and that really is what helps us diagnose pancreatitis.
So if you're monitoring it constantly, so you're giving the medication, whatever course of treatment that you choose, then you have to constantly monitor. If that course of treatment's not effective, then are there options? Can you change course of treatment? Are there multiple types of treatment based on the severity?
So there's pretty much a standard what I first addressed with. Even if we're not vomiting per se, but we're just not, you know, we don't have much of an appetite, I will give an anti-nausea injection. And then sometimes pancreatitis is not bacterial, and sometimes it is, but we do put them on antibiotics pretty routinely to address a pancreatitis. If we don't notice any improvement within the first kind of 48 hours, or if the pet seems to be getting worse, that's when we might suggest supportive care. So coming into the hospital, getting an IV catheter and fluids, and just being treated as needed. So, you know, as long as we're not eating, maybe an anti-nausea, continuing with that. Maybe instead of, because we don't want to eat, we're having trouble getting the antibiotics on board at home. So then when we're in the hospital, we can give some IV antibiotics. So they're just, it's a little bit more supportive in the care. And then there's a novel drug that kind of came out here recently for pancreatitis. It's meant to help kind of calm it down a little bit, the inflammation, the inflammatory aspect of it. We don't carry it in hospital. I don't know percentage of clinics that are carrying it now, but it is it's pretty expensive. So that's not necessarily something that we jump to right away. If we had a tricky case, and the owners are willing to cover that cost. And certainly it's something that we can get a hold of, but not a whole lot of experience with that drug. It is pretty new. So for the most part, we're relying on our supportive care and the antibiotics to address the pancreatitis.
Well, I would think with some of the advances that they've been making in the last 2 or 3 years in veterinary medicine, that maybe that's something that there might be something else that'll come out, or maybe that, you know, once that happens, we always talk about how veterinary medicine mirrors human medicine, and maybe there'll be alternatives that'll come out that maybe will be a little more cost effective.
Absolutely.
Well, and hopefully too, maybe pet insurance, something that maybe they might consider. Is pancreatitis something that is, once they have it, they will always have it, and they will always have bouts of it, even if it's a mild case?
So it definitely means you're susceptible to it. And it's not, I don't think that it's, hey, you get it once and that makes you more prone to getting it again. I think it means, just genetically speaking, in the way your body is set up, they are prone to getting it, depending on different factors. I mean, it's not something we see very often in our puppies, in our young dogs. I mean, it is kind of an adult disease, but certainly we do know that it's triggered, and it can be triggered by diet. A lot of times, foods that are high in fat will send the pancreas into a little bit of a tizzy. So that is something that we recommend in retrospect. When we go back and say, hey, we've had a case of pancreatitis or two, we really need to be on a low-fat diet. And then we can go back and just do our best to kind of address that one input. Can't do anything about genetics necessarily, but at least diet can be controlled to a certain extent.
And so it can be manageable for the lifetime. It doesn't mean that it has to limit the life of the pet.
Yeah.
If you have a question for Dr. Crockett that you'd like answered on a future show, you can email it to askdrc@wctr.com. This has been Pet Patter.